Welcome to Shifting Impressions, Conversations with the Realm of Beings, with me, Greta Chamberlain, Yvonne Crayer, Lee Steimer, and the Realm of Beings. Shifting Impressions, which is one of the vehicles that supports the transmission of the Realm of Beings, is here to assist you in delving into your being by providing numerous topics and discussions for you to intake as you deepen your connection with your inner world. Shifting Impressions is here to assist you in strengthening yourself as you excavate to understand your true nature. Lee, Yvonne, and myself with the Realm of Beings eagerly invite you to join us today and learn to shift your mindset, shift your thoughts, and shift your focus to recreate your life and produce a new you. Shifting Impressions starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Shifting Impressions, Conversations with the Realm of Beings. I'm Lee, and I'm here with Greta and Yvonne, and of course, the Realm of Beings. And we are very happy to be on Transformation Talk Radio live every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Today, we are going to be discussing another quotation from the realm, and these conversations will help you examine your life and your creation of reality. They will help you to shift your impressions and understand what you're creating in your life and how it shows up. We would just like to ask the listeners who are joining us today or at any time, if you find the content that we are creating valuable, if you would share it to someone you know or like us on YouTube or perhaps leave a comment or a rating on your podcast streaming service, that would help us get to more listeners. So we thank you if you could do that for us. Today, we are going to be talking about the quotation, honor the life of each person, respect their right to create their reality. So there's a lot in just those few words. Let's see what we can unravel, how we can unravel that today. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you, Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning. So honor the life of each person, respect their right to create their reality. So is that, you know, stop being so judgmental and critical of what everybody else is doing and just look at what you're doing and what you're creating. And from everyone's point of view, they will have their own creation of reality. And that's okay. Yes, no, maybe.
I think that the bottom of that quote is really loving each person unconditionally. You know, because when you can accept the person to create their own reality, that is just one part of unconditional love. But you're going in that direction if that's how you're feeling about people in general, or feeling about someone that you feel provides you with a lot of angst in your life. If you can accept them as they are, that's a wonderful thing. I can see Yvonne's wheels turning.
Yes, they are turning.
Biting at the bit, so I'm gonna turn it over to her.
When I look at this quote, the thing that strikes me at first is the fact that, and it's not a fact, but at least it's my opinion and my perspective, honor and respect have always gone hand in hand. They are, seem to be bonded together. Can't have one without the other. And the other part of that is, you know, like, respecting another's right to create their own reality. You know, I think what Lee opened up with about just kind of focusing on your own, like kind of stay in your own lane. If you're driving your own vehicle, your own car, you don't need to be worried too much about the, you know, to a bit. But if you're respecting yourself, you're not going to be looking outside for that respect, you know, from the other person, and you'll be able to let go and allow them the space to whatever they're doing in their life, you know, for just to let it be and to accept it, like you said, Greta. And acceptance is really, you know, one of the first steps into unconditional love. You have to accept before you can really open up that higher level of unconditional love. So, yeah, I really like this quote. Honor, and if we could all do this, honor the life of each person, respect their right to create their own, their reality. I mean, we'd all be living in a different world, I think. And another piece of that is, like, the other person is really you. You know, since we're all connected, we're all part of the force. We are the force. We're all the same energy. So, you know, if you're judging and you're too busy worrying about somebody else, you can't be doing your own, you know, focusing on yourself. But if you're judging that other person, you're actually judging yourself. So, yeah, down at the bottom of that well is, you know, when you dig down there, it's all about loving yourself, loving unconditional love for yourself.
Most definitely. Lee, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, we talk about this often on this podcast, just about, you know, when you can just catch yourself and your judgments of others, right? I mean, if you could drop that, it leaves so much spaciousness within, right? And I mean, if you have to drop it, you know, when you realize that thing that I'm always saying here, like, that thing I'm being critical about in somebody else is actually in me. So you have to really think about that some. I mean, all of these things are gifts, right? I mean, if you see something in someone that you're, you know, not so fond of, if it's in you, then it's kind of like a hint for you, for yourself, about what you have to look at internally. So that's brilliant. You know, like, doesn't, sometimes it seems a little daunting, but if you can just kind of shift a little bit and say, oh, okay, this is all a compass or a guide for me, right? Because sometimes we want to just throw away the things that aren't good, or we think are, quote unquote, air quotes, no good, but they served a purpose at some time. And maybe if they're not serving a purpose now, we just have to understand what they did for us. And now if we don't need it anymore, it's okay. We can go beyond it. But as we also have said before, there's really nothing that's not good. Everything is here for a reason.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we put it there at the time that we want to experience it. Because some people believe in fate and destiny. I'm fated to have this disease, or I'm destined to be poor. And that's a misnomer, you know. But if someone chooses that for themselves, then this quote is explaining to us to accept that this person has decided to believe in fate and destiny. Whatever decisions, whatever belief systems they have, it's okay. Because like you said, everything is working for our good. There's nothing, and I'm going to use two negatives, but there's nothing that's in existence
that supporting evil or supporting us to be in a bad condition. All this is just experience. Experience. Because the force does not judge it to be good or to be evil. It just is. So we can get to a point of acceptance of it just is. And that alleviates feelings of wanting to blame somebody because you created it, wanting to be critical of somebody because you've learned that when you were a child. People criticized you, so now you've learned that behavior, so you go around doing the same thing, you know, criticizing, you know. But we chose those parents to help give us that lesson. That's why you chose the parents you want. You know, after we get adults, we can say, whew, man, that was a rough childhood. Yeah, well, you made it rough. You know, even though you were a child, you know, you created all of that stuff that we blame our parents for. But you chose them in the first place. So even though they gave us angst or gave us a challenge, we still honor them because they are still divine. They are still divinity. We see that. We see their true nature. Their true nature, the true reality, is that they are the force and that there is no criticism or blame needed. It's just saying, okay, this is what you're showing me. Well, why did I create for you to show me that? That's the question. It's always internal examination of truth. Not external examination. Internal. Why am I doing this? Why did I buy this pink shirt instead of the blue one when I know that pink doesn't look good on me, but I bought it anyway? You know, why did I do that? You know, why am I in a relationship that I don't want to be in? Or why do I keep creating the same relationship over and over and over and over again? I keep connecting to the same type of person. Different person, but same lesson. So it's to honor and to be okay with what anyone created. Now, as a parent, that can be challenging because we want our children to do well. You know, because they're our children. For those of us who have children, you know, you want to protect them. You want to save them from their challenges because you've been down that road. So you know what the end of the road, what possibility is there. So, but it's to love them enough to let them go through it, and it's okay. In the end, you see, we all get to the same end. We're just using different roads to get there. And what is the end? The end is knowing that all along we are the force. We were the force. And we continue to be the force. And everybody else that we see separate from us is also the force, which makes them one with us. So we're always one. We're sitting in that state of oneness. We're never outside of that state of oneness, only by way of the illusions that we believe in and that we say they're real. Yeah. I see you. I always feel Yvonne thinking, and I just feel her thinking. Every time, you know, as yeah. I'm watching her, yeah. You know, so I feel the wheels turning.
Come on, they are turning.
What are you going to say?
Yeah, Greta, you always seem to make it look so easy. For the listeners out there that have worked with Greta, you know, like just talking to her each week, yeah, I mean, can't you just like sit on everybody's shoulder and be like that little Jiminy Cricket that like is constantly reminding us to like, oh, just love yourself. It's all about love, you know, because if you do that, then everything will be okay. And don't worry, just honor that other person. And I guess from my own experience, because I do have children, and that was is continues to be you know, a challenge in my life, like letting go and loving myself, loving them enough to say, just it's your, you know, not in any other way, but just in a loving way, just letting go. And it's like, oh, deep down inside you're like, I don't, that just is a decision like that I now, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't do that. But you see them going through something, and it's like you can offer advice if they ask for it, of course. I have to hold back sometimes because sometimes they don't ask, but just let it go. And sooner or later, you know, they're on their own path. They have to experience what they're chose to experience, and they chose me as their mother, and therefore, you know, I feel honored and blessed for that, being able to be a guide. But I cannot force my will upon them or anybody. And you know, sometimes I look at parents who, you know, maybe they have some regrets about their own childhood, for whatever reason, and then they live vicariously through their children and try to reinvent themselves by, you know, like if I didn't get to go to the school that I wanted to go to, or if I didn't get to go there or do this. And you know, sometimes the children just follow that to please their parents, but in the end, they're just going to have to undo all that, because if they're not loving themselves and being themselves, like we said, it's all an illusion. So to get to that place, they have to be able to follow their own path, not somebody else's path, with their choices and their lessons. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know my daughter started to interact with a young man. They decided to live together. They had thought of the possibility of getting married. I did not like that young man. I just did not like his energy. And I said, oh my God. You know, it was just like, oh my goodness. So I did such a good job of holding those thoughts back, that once my daughter shared with what he said to her about his relationship with me, he said, your mother really likes me. And I said, wow. I said, I'm doing a good job, Greta. You're doing a good job, girl. That's what I said to myself. Well, then one day Kai calls me. She was living in Texas then, and she said, "Ma, I want you to know I'm leaving him." Man, when she told me that, I wanted to jump off my bed, and I would have clicked my heels, you know. But I just said, "Ooh," I said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you," to myself. And I said, well, why are you leaving him? And she ran it straight on down to me. Everything that I knew that I didn't like about him, she ran it straight on down. And she said, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. And I said, well, you know what? That's a good thing. And then and I told her, I was honest with her. I told her, I said, I never did really appreciate him, you know. As a person, I said I just didn't like some of his ways. That's how I said it to her. I didn't like him.
Yeah, soften the
Okay,
blow.
okay, but hold on, hold on, hold on. I need to interject something here. So, based on
Here we go.
Exactly. Based on what we were just talking about 10 minutes ago when I was saying, oh, like, so you were saying, like, see, this is the tricky part of this creation of reality, right? You were identifying some things in him that were not pleasant for you. So what is that? That is like, would that be the point that you identify? That's where, see, that's that slippery slope, right?
Oh, yeah. Where slippery.
You have to like take those things that you didn't like about him and see how they are somehow in you. Is that how we do this kind of self-inventory when we want to be so critical of someone else?
Well, the inventory for me was the reason some of the things that I was seeing in him by way of my perception.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought this up. Were based on experiences that I had with my first two husbands.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. So I started to see that. And that's one reason why I said, Greta, be quiet with Kai. Because
you're another person, not you.
Right. If I speak to her about it, the only way I can speak to her is by way what I've experienced within my own relationship with my first two husbands. One died, one got divorced. Mm-hmm. So, but it was challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Those two experiences, marital experiences, were extremely challenging for me, to say the least. So when she got with this young man, you know, that's what kicked in for me, especially when she told me something that she had experienced. And
okay.
I said, oh my goodness, I experienced the same thing. So then off to the races I went.
Right. So it wasn't even necessarily like about him per se, like his character. It was just, but that's interesting, right? Because if we really want to go back down, you raised Kai, right? So
okay.
Your daughter. So, so because she was in your sphere of influence, right? See, this is the interesting thing about families. So, you know, we can only, or, you know, children learn a lot by the dynamics in the household, right? And okay, they chose to pick that household. Okay. So the fact that she was creating someone to support her in the same way that you had created someone to support you in that way, right? But then perhaps maybe differently from you, maybe she saw those experiences, what she was creating, and then decided, no. Like, I don't need to marry this to take it further. I'm experiencing this now, and I know that it is not for me, so I'm parting ways, where you were married to it, right? So she sort of, is that kind of like overcoming a pattern or a loop, you know? How does that work?
Well, some of it you take in the epigenetics.
Right.
Taking the epigenetics of the family that you're in. That what epigenetics did you get from your mother? What epigenetics did you get from your father?
You see? Right, and that's kind of experiential things, right? Like, you know.
Mm-hmm. But see, now Kai, now this is really interesting. Because Kai, she's my daughter, but she did not come through my body.
Mm-hmm.
She came through the body of another woman whom I love dearly. And we're always talking with each other.
But right.
She came through her. So she picked up the epigenetics from her and the epigenetics from her birth father.
Mm-hmm.
Then the very, so she chose, see, in the incarnation stage, Kai, because we can see what she did, Kai chose a birth parent, two birth parents. But then she also chose, at the same time, two adoptive parents.
Mm-hmm.
She chose and created to be, to come through these birth parents to have this humanoid experience. So right. She's carrying their genetic makeup.
Right.
But yet she comes to two other parents. Kai was with us the second day. Her birth mother gave birth. The next day we got Kai. So okay. Kai's been with me, you know, 35 years now. She's going on 35. So she has that, those epigenetics. Now let's examine the birth mother. Now this is what's really interesting. Her birth mother had gone through a lot of similar experiences that I had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So even with that being the fact that I am a mother that is, I am her mother, but I'm not the one that gave birth to her.
Right.
Okay. Yet I share similar things with her birth mother. She and mm-hmm. I both share similar things with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So Kai wanted to go through those experiences, but real wanted to go through the experience of feeling abandoned and rejected as well. That was one of her lessons.
Right. So
therefore, as she grew up, you know, we shared with her, or I shared with her, that she was adopted. So we mm-hmm. went through a whole lot with her mm-hmm. dealing with abandonment and rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Which, now get this, which is one of the lessons that I had and have to learn, abandonment and rejection.
Right.
So even though I was her, not her birth mother, her birth mother went through that, I went through that, Kai went through that.
Right.
All three women went through the same thing. But see, and that also proves, and then I'm going to let, because I know you got something important to say, that also proves that there's only oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because how is that, you know, because this, okay, we want to talk about emotion, right? It's energy in motion. So there was this abandonment energy swirling around everyone, right? And, you know, Kai got that, right? So how does that emotion transcended so that it heals the chain? Because everything is connected, right?
Oh, I love this question, because I got to tell you how she healed that.
Okay. Man,
I had been looking for her birth mother. I actually went out and started looking for her.
Okay.
I had her name, but I went to a private investigator. The private investigator said, well, you don't know. This could have been a name that she gave Kai, or it could be her name. So then okay. I said, okay, I'm not going to deal with it. I missed her. I wound up by a house on the street where she lived and missed it because I saw a neighbor. I said, isn't there a woman over there that lived over there with a child, he's about so-and-so, who's Kai's brother, so-and-so. And he said, yes, but she's been gone a year. I said, doggone it, I missed her, okay? But Kai knew that I was looking for her birth parents, you know? Mm-hmm. So she knew that. So now, as an adult, what did she do? She goes out and she takes one of the DNA tests.
Right.
Okay, she bought it, she took it, and do you realize, this is so interesting, the girl found her birth mother, found her birth father, found all of the brothers that come from, and sisters that come from the birth mother, and the brother that comes from her birth father, and mm-hmm. then erases the sister that she has through her father, that she says, mm-hmm. this is my father, not my birth father, this is my father. She got together with them. I talked with them. We interact with them. We had a big Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody was there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was there. That's the healing.
Okay.
Everybody was there. The father didn't even know that he had a child.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
See, the misconceptions, and that's the thing that, like, you know, the child could think, like, oh, my dad doesn't love me. He left me. Or meanwhile, he didn't even know that that person existed.
Right. But now get this. Here's the added thing. Her birth mother didn't know her birth father.
Okay,
so it gets deeper. Because then Kai told her birth mother, go do a DNA test. The woman does the DNA test and finds her father.
So that's interesting. So that is it. Like, and because we're all connected, if one embraces the love, it will affect everything forward and backward, so to speak.
Absolutely. 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 Now, there was some fear with Kai because she said, Ma, should I call? I said, yes. I said, I encouraged her. I said, call.
Mm-hmm.
Call. You know.
Right, because, I mean, it's human. We want to not be rejected. You know, it's like a vulnerable, and you don't say, oh, you're my mom, and then the person hangs up the phone on you or something. So
I'm telling you. But we are one close-knit family now, I must admit.
That's beautiful.
We live in different states, but we're very, you know, we're just real close to each other.
Right. You
know, I can't even begin to explain the beauty of it. And when her own father, her mother is a twin,
an
identical twin, by the way. So neither one of them knew the dad. And when they found the dad, when Kai went to go visit them in the state that she lives in, Kai was able to meet her birth grandfather as well.
Okay.
Whoa. That's connecting the feeling of belonging. I mean, she definitely belongs where she may have at some point felt like she didn't belong. I can imagine a lot of adopted children probably don't feel like they belong, you know?
But you know what's interesting when you say that? Sometimes you can feel you don't belong and you're right there in the birth family that you were given.
Yeah, I can ditto that.
You know, I didn't feel that. I would sit around, get this, when I was a child, I would sit around, this woman cannot be my mother. I would say that. I said, I must be adopted. I did say that. I said, there is no way that.
So that feeling of not belonging, not being connected, not realizing that we're all one, really starts at a very young age.
It starts before that. It starts at the incarnation stage.
Yeah.
When we make the decisions we make about what we want to experience. It's at the incarnation stage when we choose our parents.
Then you separate. You begin to separate and forget.
Right.
That you're not. You think you're not the force, because then you enter a body, physical body, and well, take it from there.
Yeah. Going into a whole lot of stuff. Yeah.
Ladies, we are getting messages from our producer here that it's time to take a very short break. We're at the halfway point of our podcast today. And when we come back, we will be hearing directly from the realm of beings, which is always very exciting. This part of the show is really very interesting. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Shifting Impressions, Conversations with the Realm of Beings. I'm Yvonne. I'm here with Greta and Lee every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. So we'll be right back after a quick break. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone. This is Courtney Cottrell, host of Unapologetically Favorite on Transformation Talk Radio, here to give you some tips on how you can move your life forward if you're feeling stuck by using the GROW model. First, use the letter G to write down the goal that you ultimately want to achieve, whether it's working out 1 hour a day or working towards a promotion at work. Second, using the letter R, Think realistically about the roadblock that is currently holding you back from accomplishing your goals. Third, use the letter O. Think about the options or opportunities that will help you in achieving your goal. What can you change in your daily routine that will help you move closer to achieving your goal? Fourth, use the letter W to discover your will and make a true commitment to achieving your goal by writing down a completion date. Once you've reached your goal, celebrate your accomplishment. You are capable of achieving anything you set your mind to. Never give up and keep being unapologetically you.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Obert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Obert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobert.com. That's drkathyobert.com.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome back, listeners. We're so thankful and so grateful that you're here today with us. And we have reached the point of the podcast where we get to hear directly from the realm of beings. And today we have begun our journey to unpack the quote, honor the life of each person, respect their right to create their reality. Realm, are you with us?
Yes, we're here.
This quote comes directly through Greta, and it's your quote. So what have you to say about this, Realm?
One word that we like to say is the word divine. Each one of you is divine. We know that you discussed that this morning, but we want to emphasize that. Each one of you is divine. That is one reason why you want to live a life of acceptance of the illusions that someone chose or chooses to experience. Because at the bottom of that experience, they are still divine. You see, divinity is the true essence of each person's experience. But it is hidden. In fact, each one of you is doing the hiding because you've set up to experience these challenges for your growth. It's the same way somebody who's skiing down the hill, when you first learn how to ski, you get on the little mound and slide down, and you didn't fall, so you feel, oh, this is wonderful. I made it. I'm learning how to ski. I skied that little mound without falling down, so I am successful. So, because what are you successful in? Oh, I was afraid that I might fall down the hill, this little mound. I was afraid, but I conquered my fear. So instead of falling down, I made it to the end of the bottom of the hill, that little mound. It's not even a hill, it's a little mound. So you were happy about that. So then you say, I made it down that mound. Now I'm going to try something a little bit bigger. So you get on it. You're more confident now because you made it over the little mound. So you said, well, I'm not. So the fear lessens. I'm not so much afraid anymore. I'm more confident in myself now. So I slide down the next one and I get to the bottom. I made it. I didn't fall down. So I'm excited about that. Because the more and more success I give to myself, the more and more I want to experience. So now I'm ready to go on the hill. I do the same thing on the hill. Now I'm ready to do the mountain. You see? So this, what you call life, is like skiing down the hill. There's fear. But as you go up further and further and you've been more successful, more successful, more successful, the fear becomes less. And the happiness and the joy and the appreciation of self increases. So what this life is, you learning how to appreciate yourself more and more and more. So you give yourself challenges. So from the example of the hill is the idea that when you give yourself the challenges, you don't have to be so fearful about it. See yourself overcoming the challenge. See, many of you succumb to the challenge.
Or is it to the fear?
Yes. It's to the fear. You're absolutely correct. The fear. The challenge is a physical manifestation of the fear.
Right.
You see. So yes. It's to move. It's to climb the mountain and get to the top. You get less and less and less and less fear as you get down there to ski down. Then you get used to skiing down the top of the mountain. You don't think anything about it. So what do you do after you've done it? Well, I think I'm going to learn how to play. I'm going to learn how to ice skate.
Round.
You've learned this lesson, so now you're going to choose another one. Yes, Yvonne.
I have a question.
Yes.
Following this example makes sense, but what about those people, including myself, that effectively sometimes just can't get off the chairlift and even get to the top of the mountain to even attempt to ski down?
Well, see, you're doing good though, because you at least got on the ski lift.
I guess. Okay. Some people don't even put their skis on.
Absolutely. let alone get on the lift.
Yeah. Okay. So with that being said, I suppose the lesson for me right now in this moment is be grateful that I put my skis on and I put my jacket on and got on the chairlift. And if I have to go a few times on the chairlift or keep going back and buying the lift ticket until I decide I'm going to get off the chair and ski down. And no matter what happens, I'll see what happens at the end. Yeah.
What
if I just decide not to ski anymore? I go and I ice skate, like you said, then.
That's your choice.
Then yeah.
You've made that choice.
Like I had enough of this. It's too cold out here on the mountain. I'm going to go learn how to surf. So,
like yeah. That. We honor you to do that. Even sure. If you never skied down the slope and you just kept riding on the chairlift, get off, get on the other side and ride back.
Yep.
That's okay too. One it's of these good. Days, maybe you'll decide to ride up there and then ski down.
I don't think riding. So.
That's all right, Yvonne. That's all right. That's all right. It's all right. It's okay. We honor you to do that.
Yes.
And we honor the person who couldn't even put on the skis to begin with, but we're at the ski lodge to ski. That's and okay, too.
It could be like life should actually be that easy. You know, like think of life as life on the mountain. Some people are drinking cocoa inside. Some people put the skis on. Some people don't. Some people go down really fast. Some people fall. Whatever anybody's doing is really okay, because it's just like the quote says, it's their creation of reality. So maybe we need to learn to not get too triggered by the person who's drinking cocoa or the person who's put the skis on and falls down. Just let everyone do their thing.
Yes. And to watch being a savior. Because I could say to Yvonne, I'm going to ride the ski lift with you. We'll hold hands. And then we'll go down the mountain together. What am I trying to do with Yvonne? Save her from her decision making in that on her own. I'm trying to save her. Give me your hand. Let me save you.
Feels like interference to me. I don't like when people interfere in my life. I'd rather you just get your own chair and ride up.
Yes. Yes. But there's some people that there's an inner part of them is so strong that they must save people. But you know what that's about. You've talked about it in other podcasts. If you're trying to save somebody.
Save your hood is victimhood.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just an attempt to distract from focusing on your own lessons. I don't even want to call them issues. They're lessons. You know, like we don't have to put any kind of a negative spin on any of this. It's just a lesson.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other lesson that the other person has to learn who's trying to save somebody is that not only are they creating realities for themselves to be a victim, but they're showing you that they're afraid of their own environment that they are creating. Saviorhood is fear. Because there has to be a strong desire to control. I want to control you. If I feel, which is impossible now, but if I feel that I am controlling you, I feel safer. Yes. So there are two parts to that. Yes. Yeah. But we want to honor them as well. We honor you. We honor you. See, that's the thing. Whatever anybody creates, just say, I understand. And just honor the person. You know. Like they might call and say, I feel awful because my husband has left. Or I feel awful because my wife has left me. You just say, I understand how you feel. Empathy, not sympathy. I empathize with you on that particular issue. You don't have to say, I empathize with you on that issue which you created. You don't have to tell somebody that, but it's for you. What are you going to do for you in this case? For you is acceptance that that person has created to experience that. Acceptance that that person has lessons contained within that experience that they've decided to learn, you see. And once you realize that, then you don't have to have an emotional attachment to it. And you reach a state of beginning to unconditionally love that person. And whatever they create, it's okay. You get deeper down in it. Whatever the reason they're telling you something, it can be, if we judge it, it could be something heinous. But you don't even have to judge it. Just know the person created it. And they created it for his or her lesson, you see. Your lesson in it is not to become sympathetic. That's your lesson. That's why you're being told the story. You see, so you don't have to save the person. You don't have to be sympathetic with the person, regardless of whoever it is. It could be your child. It could be your mother. It could be your father. It could be your brother or your sister. Just say, I understand how you feel. And let it be so. I understand how you feel. That's it. That puts an end to your experience in it. But if you go, oh my God, which means you're not accepting that person's divinity to create that reality. Then you go, oh my God, oh, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. Can I help you? What can I do to assist you? And then you go all the way down, all the way down, all the way down, all the way down, all the way down. Then you're not honoring that person. You're trying to save that person. That is not honoring that person's divinity. And their right to create their own reality. You're saying to them, oh, that's terrible. You should, oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. So it's going back into that person's unconscious. You feel you've judged their experience to be heinous. You've judged their experience to be awful. So therefore, you're setting up criticism of their choice of reality. Saviorhood is negation of the other person's creation of reality.
It never works either. It just doesn't seem to ever
work, because it just brings back more of the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Except now it's not the other person that is experiencing it. You are.
Right.
See, you get exactly what you're trying to save somebody else from. You will experience something similar. Not necessarily exactly like it, but something similar.
Another lesson. Realm, yeah. I've just gotten a message from our producer that we're getting ready to approach, you know, we're approaching the top of the hour here. Is there anything else that you would like to say before we end our show?
Every week we say the same thing, Yvonne, and that is remember, honor your divinity, honor the others around you, their divinity, regardless of what personality they are showing you. They are still divine beings because they are still the force. So love yourselves unconditionally.
What a wonderful message to close on. If we could just step into our week, keep that message in our heart this today and always. I think we would all be creating a wonderful reality filled with love for ourselves and be affecting everybody around us with that love. So I'm Yvonne. Once again, I'm here with Lee and Greta and the Realm. As always, we're on Transformation Talk Radio every Friday at 11. Thank you for listening. And until we create each other again.
Once again, thanks for joining us at Shifting Impressions, Conversations with the Realm of Beings on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As you have explored today's creation of reality experience with Lee, Yvonne, the Realm, and me, Greta, each of you is being supported by us in further developing the understanding that you are not just an individual existing in linear time and space, but a multidimensional force of infinite possibilities who is connected to all. So begin to create the realities you want. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Shifting Impressions at TransformationTalkRadio.com. So long until we create each other again next Friday.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.